Hey everybody,
this is Y'all Heard, a podcast where me, Marissa Phillips,
and me, Pete Phillips,
and we're not related.
And this is a show for curious people who want to hear about a variety of topics out there in the world, from
food
to fetishes,
celebrities
to unsung heroes, from things you think you know to
things you didn't know you needed to know.
So, Marissa, how you doing?
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
I have had the flu type A. I did not know there were multiple types of flu. I've had flu type A, which is the worst kind, for almost 2 weeks now. And I gave it to my whole family. I weirdly gave it to my whole family. Even though, so I started getting really sick over Super Bowl. And I was around them a little bit, but I was still trying to be careful. But my husband has been sleeping next to me the entire time, just like tempting fate, like just telling the heavens, get me sick, I dare you. And he's been totally fine. So that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm really, I've been sick for a long time. I'm still sick, but I try to put something together. So it's not my best. How are you?
It doesn't matter how I am, Marissa.
Okay.
Because I wanted to share something with you. Did you know that this exists? I guess this is kind of a plug, too.
First my love life, then my career. Everything's imploding right before my eyes in a week before the holiday. $30?
This one. It says a lifetime television event.
Oh!
Lizzie Whitlock is going home for the holidays.
It's a National Margarita Day miracle!
To celebrate National Margarita Day.
Brought to you by Chili's.
I knew this existed for a moment, then forgot about it, so I'm so glad you reminded me.
It premieres tonight.
Oh, man. On the Lifetime channel?
Yeah.
She knows how.
Wait. Margarita?
You read my mind.
It's a tale of family.
You got it?
Tay Diggs is just a bartender at a Chili's?
Oh, I missed that it was Tay Diggs.
It looks great.
I finally got a fake one, but I do miss that live agave smell.
And betrayal.
Are you dating that developer?
What if I were?
You are ruining National Margarita Day for this entire town.
Wow. The greatest National Margarita Day story ever told.
National Margarita Day.
Every time they say National Margarita Day.
They say it a lot.
Citrus in your eyes and you're bobbing for lines.
Starring Maria Menounos and Tay Diggs.
Turns out everything I ever needed was here all along.
I'll Be Home for National Margarita Day, presented by Chili's. Premieres Wednesday, February 19th at 10.
Have better things to be in?
There's no way I'm staying up till 10 o'clock tonight to watch that.
Oh, man. I don't know. I kind of want to watch this, but for once in my life, me and Aaron have a lot of shows we're watching. I don't know if I could convince him that we should put all of them aside for that. But I love ridiculous shit like this. Like, when they have the... If you guys don't remember, there was like a... I don't know if it was on Lifetime, but like a Lifetime Kentucky Fried Chicken movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like one of the highlights of my life. So I would 100% watch this shit.
They had it on the Lifetime homepage, which is a place I go to often.
Okay.
And but it said underneath it, sponsored. And so I thought it was just an ad that looked like a movie.
Oh, man, yeah.
Mixed in with the rest of the movies, but no. It's a real movie.
So. Can I just say, a lot of people in my life like Chili's so much and I don't get it. My family is obsessed with the Chili's fajitas. And then...
I don't know the last time I've been to a Chili's.
Yeah, I went and I was like, this is fine. This tastes like I'd imagine fajitas in a Chili's would taste. And it tasted kind of like... But also had like a weird fake aftertaste. And we used to live right near a Chili's, me and Aaron... And he always used to lament that I wouldn't let us go to Chili. And I'm like, why do you want to go to Chili so bad? Like, we live right next to, like, two authentic Mexican restaurants. Why would I ever... Also, I don't even think Chili sells tacos. I just want that to be known, that I don't think Chili sells tacos. Yeah, I think I meant to tell you about that. And then it just... I was probably in the midst of my flu, and it just went away.
Yeah. So, I'll say this much, though. It doesn't really have anything to do with me, but in terms of how I'm doing, Marissa, things are just shaken up in the WNBA. Everybody's all over the place. It's crazy.
I don't know what that means.
And the Fever cut my favorite player.
Oh,
because
why?
Because of Caitlin Clark.
Why? Like, they decided they wanted her instead?
No, because they had her last year and they never played my favorite player anymore.
Oh.
So this year they finally just got rid of her completely and they brought in other people because the public was complaining that the league was like beating up on Caitlin Clark.
Oh.
So they went out and got like tough people who were going to go and beat up on other people, I guess.
I mean, isn't any beating up a foul anyway?
Sometimes you can just play hard.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
So anyway, she's in Minnesota now. And and so I'm just torn. I don't know what my team is going to be for the next year. Got a lot of things going on, Marissa.
Who your favorite player is?
Oh, Grace Berger. And then Julie Van Loo is now on the Golden State Valkyries. And I don't know what to do with that either.
They're me both.
They're a brand new team. They're talking about having a WNBA team in Cleveland called the Cleveland Rockers. So anyway, Marissa.
Yeah.
Guess what? Our phone number works.
Listener mail.
Okay, great.
We got a call from Alex.
Great.
Hi, this is Alex. I am really sorry for not having left a voicemail in the past few months. I don't have a really good reason. I just got out of the habit, I guess. And like, not to complain, the shift of the show schedule from it being weekly to like every couple of weeks meant that I had trouble keeping track of like, when do I need to call back to be timely? I'm not timely here. I'm very sorry. The thing I was going to call back on was regarding an episode in October about like a spooky, I think a spooky movie story idea or something. And like, what was the scariest thing that could come to life? And I was going to answer, Tesla Cybertruck. And it's not super funny because they're trying to make them self-driving and they're doing a bad job and the things are already super dangerous. So my idea of a scary thing coming to life, is real.
Yeah.
And I guess that's an interesting object to pick as an example of a scary thing coming to life these days.
What do you think, Marissa? You covered the Cybertruck.
I mean, God, I talk about the Cybertruck all the time and how much I hate it constantly, and I think that would be terrifying. Yeah, a Cybertruck come to life is terrifying. A Cybertruck not even alive is terrifying. Cybertrucks are terrifying.
I think that we need to get Teslas off the road. Because every time I see one, I roll my eyes, and I think it's dangerous to be driving a car and rolling my eyes.
And Teslas are dangerous themselves. As I've told you, their cameras have been known to lag. So, yep, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to offer to even, like, I'm a mechanical engineer. If you guys ever wanted Elon Musk hate, I could do it. But you guys recently did one, so thank you for doing that. I really appreciate that.
He said if you want to Elon Musk hate, he's up for it, and recently did.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Oh, thanks also for the recent, like, commissioning of a song to thank your patrons. I appreciated being credited in it. That was really nice.
Alex, guess what? That was AI. Isn't AI crazy?
You don't admit that.
I also am so, I'm just happy that somebody actually acknowledged it.
I mean, I did.
Because I was kind of like, maybe people just skip the beginning of the show. But yeah.
What else do we have going on to check in on? I thought it was interesting to do the episode with Aaron, Marissa's husband. Marissa, congratulations again on your wedding. And, you know, like it was a change of pace. I wanted to know more about Aaron. I thought that it was interesting to have him on the line, but it really just was definitely not like something where you can just swap Pete and Aaron and everything's going to go fine. And I guess that's coming and going, right? They've each got different roles. So
I thought that episode was so weird. So I'm glad you appreciated it because my husband is not going to listen. My husband is fun. He's funny. He's charming. There's something about once you start recording him, he stiffens up like a board. And I was like, who am I talking to? So that was not a fair presentation of my husband.
Yeah, we just need to secretly record him.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I think I'm doing well. I'm doing pretty well. And I don't know that I have a whole lot that's really, really new to report.
Welcome to our life. That's why the beginning of the show is so hard for us now.
Yeah.
But it's good to call in and say hi. And I really appreciate that you guys are doing the show. It is always good to hear how you're doing. And, you know, it's a friendly experience. I appreciate it. Oh, man, I'm looking through the archives. The Branded Comics episode, that one was really fun. I got some bad comics in some breakfast cereal. So anyway, I really appreciate the show. I realize that I'm coming up on 5 years of listening to the show.
Oh, and wow.
Want to feel old?
Man.
And being a regular caller person. I think what started it is, okay, so I used to work with Pete, not super directly, but enough. And at the start of the pandemic, interacting with Pete became suddenly significantly more relevant and important because his job was very important for helping people get their college courses to be taught online. And I was one of the people who needed some help. And so I was connecting just a little bit more with Pete online than usual to share information. And then from that, I figured out that, like, oh, he's got this podcast. What is the deal with that? And I started listening, and here we are. And I really have found the show to be a very friendly experience over the past almost 5 years. Like, not quite. I'm probably, like, April or May of 2020. Yeah, I appreciate the show, I guess, is what I'm saying. And it's good to stick with you guys. Happy trails. I'll probably call in next week after I hear the next episode. All right. Bye.
Oh, thanks, Alex. That's so nice. It's so nice to know somebody listens regularly and still appreciates it. And by the way, I know that you said it's a little hard to know when we're going to have a new show. It is supposed to be every other week. Just it kind of went all over the place because Pete had a family situation. And then we were getting back in the groove. And then I got the flu. So when things don't go awry, it should be every other week.
Yeah. But things are often awry.
Yeah. So we're doing the best we can.
So I have to say that I don't think I bring a lot of listeners to the show. But I brought one, at least.
Yeah.
And he's a really good listener.
He is. I have brought a lot of people. Not a lot. I have brought numerous people to the show over time. And I don't think many of them stay. So, I don't know what that's worth.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Always appreciated, Alex. Thanks for sticking with us.
But and, I think, unless you have one in mind, we can forego an icebreaker because Alex was talking about Elon Musk hating.
Icebreaker.
Yeah, but I did then want to ask if you had a favorite chain restaurant when you brought up Chili's.
Oh. You know, I can't say that I have a favorite chain restaurant exactly. But I would say if you had an Applebee's and a Chili's in front of me, I'd probably go to the Applebee's.
Does Applebee's? Oh, no, that's TGI Fridays with the salad bar, right?
I don't know. I've been to a Fridays once in my life.
Oh, okay.
My story about going to Applebee's was, I was leaving a job and they wanted to take me out to lunch and they wanted to take me to Applebee's. Or no, they wanted to take me, sorry, to Fridays. And so, one of the people who was supposed to take me was running late. And then they ran later and later. And I know that Marissa knows where this story is going because Marissa's been with me when I've been hungry.
Oh, yeah.
But I ended up getting so sick that day from not eating. And then I had like a terrible headache. My head hurt so bad. My stomach hurt and I couldn't eat the food that I had. It was a disaster. It made me very happy to leave that job.
Oh, was it the Jersey job?
No. Wait. The job that I have now.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, all right. All right. So Applebee's. Okay. Oh, is that your final answer, Applebee's then?
It's probably the answer I'm going to give you.
Okay.
If you want to fight about it.
I ask that without really having something like firmly in my mind. I have a love-hate relationship with Blaze Pizza. Have you ever been to a Blaze Pizza?
No.
It's a BYO, meaning build your own, not bring your own. It's a BYO pizza. It's like Subway's for pizza. You go and you pick the crust and you pick the toppings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great when they do it right. But I also have a severe problem with food. I have to learn to curb my anger for the sake of my marriage. Because they keep, when I get it delivered, they often put the wrong toppings on it. Or they'll put half of my toppings on Aaron's pizza and half of his toppings on my pizza. And I don't want his fucking toppings. And then I'll have a hissy fit and then not want to eat the whole pizza. And I'll ruin everybody's day. So I love them, but when they wrong me hard.
Yeah.
Also, can I just say, I ordered tacos from Chipotle the other day. And Aaron picked them up. And the moment he took them out of the bag, I just went, those are wrong. And they had the wrong toppings in them, and the tortillas were not gluten-free tortillas. And I was on the verge of throwing all of them out, and then I realized it was mean to Aaron, because he was like, here, I got you Chipotle. And then I was like, I'm sorry, I need to calm down. And then we called Chipotle calmly to say, you gave us the wrong order, can we get our money back? And then they said, no. So, yeah.
Screw you.
Yeah, so anyway, that's not that important. I just need to learn to not get so angry. I don't know if I also told you that once in Boston, I ordered a pizza. They told me it was ready. I showed up. It wasn't ready for an hour later. And when they gave it to me, it was so soggy that I threw it on the floor. Anyway, let's get started. Yeah. I have a problem because I have so many food limitations that I have built food up on a pedestal so much that if it doesn't live up to my expectations, I just give up on life.
Yeah.
So, yep. Anyway.
There's a lot of reasons to give up on life, Marissa. That's one of them.
I ruined the perfect segue that had to do with Elon Musk. I'm not obsessed with Elon Musk. I forgot that my last topic was the Cybertruck. As I said, I've been very sick. It was, you'd think it's not that hard to put a topic together, but I'm just having a hard time focusing. So I was like, let me do a topic that like isn't just me like just looking for something obscure. Let me just look for something that like it'd be helpful to know about, and maybe we'll help you. So today we're going to talk about Doge. I'm not going to like the Department of government. I'm not going to tell you anything mind-blowing, but I am just going to like basically, like they've been in the news constantly lately, but it's just like Elon Musk is crazy. Elon Musk is taking young people into our Treasury Department trying to get all their information. And this is all true. I am not defending him at all. I hate Elon Musk. But I just wanted to like get a little more detail about like what they do, what their deal is, who are these young randos working with him, and stuff like that. And do you
now,
know about
imagine, the imagine my surprise this morning, guys, when I get a message from Marissa that says, I'm going to talk about Doge. And I thought, Dogecoin?
No, not Dogecoin.
Because that's, like, I'm sorry, everybody listening out there, but I am one of the people who is like, you know what? I'm just not going to look at news anymore because it sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, I also am like, I'm not going to look at the news anymore. So all I do are see random headlines and I don't inspect them. So
and of course,
was like,
that was the moment that I made the connection that Elon Musk, Dogecoin, Department of Government Efficiency, yeah. Doge, really? Why do we give this man credit for being creative?
I'm going to bring that up briefly in a moment. But again, bear with me. This isn't mind-blowing, but I'm going to give a brief overview of the Department of Government Efficiency. If you've heard all the headlines swirling around but don't really have concrete details. So, as we said, Department of Government Efficiency, a.k.a. DOGE, is the new advisory board that was created by President Donald Trump and is led by Elon Musk and has been tasked with cutting U.S. government jobs and other spending that is said by them to be perhaps superfluous or unnecessary.
Hey, has anybody done anything with, like, White POTUS?
What?
You know the show White Lotus? Has anybody done, like, a white POTUS?
But aren't most POTUSes white?
Yeah, I know, but this one's, like, really white. Sorry, go ahead.
So Elon Musk is leading this effort to, as he says, drastically reduce the federal workforce and weed out what he sees as taxpayers' money being wasted. Again, what specifically Elon Musk sees. Mm-hmm. Now, as an aside, as Pete mentioned briefly, DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency, does share its name with a well-known meme coin. I said meme. I want to kill myself.
Nope,
I'm sorry.
Nope. All of them work.
Okay. Doge shares his name with a well-known meme coin, which is Dogecoin. If you're not familiar, Dogecoin is a cryptocurrency that features the face of a dog named Kabosu from a very specific meme. Dogecoin became a phenomenon in 2021, with Elon Musk and other prominent figures and celebrities endorsing the cryptocurrency. This Dogecoin became so popular that its market value rose to about $45 billion in April of 2021. Elon Musk was one of Dogecoin's biggest supporters, so much so that in 2023, he even temporarily changed the logo of X, formerly known as Twitter, to the Doge dog logo, triggering a spike in Dogecoin's value. So,
I'm learning now as well that Dogecoin is not related to Doja Cat.
No, it was Doja. So I don't think Elon Musk has ever officially said that the name of this board is a play on the meme coin, but I think it's just sort of assumed that Elon Musk thought he was being cheeky in calling it Doge, since Elon Musk is known for being so proud of how online he is, and he's such a fucking tech bro twat. So yeah, whatever. Anyway, so back to the organization. So in Trump's first official statement announcing this new department, Elon Musk is quoted saying that the Department of Government Efficiency will, quote, send shockwaves through the system and anyone involved in government waste, which is a lot of people. Anyway, according to Trump, DOGE will provide advice and guidance from outside of the government, and it will partner with the White House and the Office of Management and Budget to, quote, drive large-scale structural reform and create an entrepreneurial approach to government never seen before. Yeah, exciting. So, like, what is it, though? Like,
entrepreneur makes me want to puke.
I know. Me too. So, like, it's a department, but, like, what is it, though, for real? Because, like, that didn't exist before. Is this now an official department? No. So DOGE is not an official government department because that would have had to be established by an act of Congress, and this was not. Instead, DOGE came into being through one of Trump's presidential executive orders, and it operates as an advisory body, so not an official government department. Part of DOGE's mission, according to the order, relates to IT upgrades and is aimed at boosting efficiency. And what's interesting is that Trump's executive order says that DOGE's work must be finished by July 2026. The executive order says, quote, the U.S. DOGE service temporary organization shall be headed by the USDS administrator and shall be dedicated to advancing the president's 18-month DOGE agenda. The U.S. DOGE service temporary organization shall terminate on July 4th, 2026. So mark your calendars, friends, because according to that, they should be done by then. We should be free of them after 18 months. Will that be true?
A lot of people are going to be out of work by then.
I'm sure that somehow they're going to get around that. But
oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. I had no idea that there was like an end date. So that's interesting. So something that's been mentioned a lot in headlines is that Elon Musk shows up to these departments demanding sensitive information, and he's surrounded by like a bunch of young randos that everyone like doesn't know who they are, and they don't even know if they have the proper security clearances. So like I've been interested in that. I'm just like, who, what does he just have like a bunch of interns with him? So actually a list of 30 employees and alleged allies of Elon Musk's new Doge department actually was published by ProPublica, an investigative news outlet. And I'm not going to name 30 people, but
names.
Just to give a couple, just to give you like a brief look at some of the people that are in this department that, again, is in charge of cutting government inefficiency. So I was like, I wonder what their backgrounds are going to be. What do you think would make a good background for someone in charge of assessing efficiencies?
Engineers.
Okay.
And based on what you described, like accountants, but like creative accountants that are probably too young to actually have any practical experience.
I will say there were a few Twitter engineers on the set. So there is, for example, Nikhal Rajpal, age 30, who in 2018 worked as an engineer at Twitter. So there are some engineers. There is also Marco Elise, 25. He's a Treasury Department staffer who used to work as an engineer at Twitter for 1 year and at SpaceX for about 3 years. Okay.
So he's one of the boys.
What'd you say?
He's one of the boys.
Yeah. And there is also Jordan Wick, 28, who worked as a software engineer at the self-driving car company Waymo. So we do have some engineers. Did I see any accountants? No. And there are just some random people that just seem like they know him. Like Christopher Stanley, 33. He is, quote, was part of the team Musk used to take over Twitter. That's not an explanation of his credentials. That just, okay. There's also, not to be ageist.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Marissa, you saw what he did to Twitter. It's thriving now. And
oh,
so
yeah.
That's all the credential you need is to be part of that team.
There's also Katie Miller, 33, who served as Mike Pence's press secretary. I don't really know what that has to do with anything at all.
Yeah.
And not to be ageist, but there's someone named Akash Boba, who's 21, and is just listed as a recent graduate from the University of California.
Good job, buddy. Good job.
And even better, Edward Korestine, 19, who previously interned at Neuralink, one of Musk's brain-computer interface companies. Boy, do I want to
look into the archives, guys.
What
did
you say?
Look into the archives.
Oh, yeah, you're right, yeah. But man, again, sorry to be ageist, but boy, do I not want a 19-year-old former intern to be assessing the efficiency of our government.
Although, you might as well just call it like the Department of Anti-Aging. Just, we want to fire all the people who are old because they have self-respect and want to like make a living wage. And we want to hire all young people who don't know what money is yet.
I will say there are a few people in Musk's team that are older than the ages I listed. There was someone in their 50s and a few people in their 40s. But I just wanted to point out the ones that it was just like, how the hell did they end up on this?
Yeah.
Anyway. So another thing that
he's just the only kid who graduated from college and was like, I guess I'll just send a letter to Elon Musk and see if he'll hire me. I like this. I'm sorry, I don't know how to do a South African accent. I like this kid's initiative.
Boy, did I wish you tried. So, moving on, just to look at the inner workings of all this. Another thing that people complain about is, like, we didn't elect Elon Musk. How does he have this power? What the fuck? Like, is he even a government employee? He is. Musk initially did say that he would perform his role as an outside volunteer, which would seem even more fucked up to me if we just allowed random...
We don't want you. Yeah, like, even if we don't pay, we don't want you.
So he did say he would perform his work as an outside volunteer, but the White House later said he was operating as an unpaid special government employee. I will say, though, Elon Musk did say that some of the people on his staff are federal employees. So he himself is a special government employee. Not that doesn't necessarily account for everyone on his team.
Just make him a contractor. Like people who, you know... Sorry, go ahead.
So this is of note because special government employee is a designation that is officially defined as someone working for the government for exactly 130 days or less in a year. And I don't understand how that's going to work at all, because if you remember what I said, DOGE is supposed to exist for 18 months, and I'm not good at math, but I'm pretty sure it's more than 130 days and 18 months.
Well, he'll probably take summer off.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to go. But yeah, so with that designation, he is only supposed to work 130 days. So yeah, fucking whatever. So, what has DOGE done so far besides upset a lot of people, myself included? Well, its mission, Musk said, is to save taxpayers' money and reduce U.S. national debt, which stands at about $36 trillion. So initially, Musk said he had hoped to save as much as $2 trillion a year, but he later tempered that estimate to be less. To what number, I don't know, but he realized that was a little too high of an aspiration.
So now he could save $5 a year and still be successful.
Yep, exactly. So Musk said that he wants to, quote, end the tyranny of the bureaucracy, what he describes as a fourth branch of government working against Trump's agenda. It is actually unclear officially, like, how much DOGE has managed to save so far, although its X, a.k.a. Twitter account, likes to give regular celebratory updates on what they say has been cut. Some of its headline-making actions have included DOGE representatives entering various departments to monitor spending. Trump says that they have identified, quote, fraud and abuse, but apparently no further evidence was given as to what that was or how that was proven. Another update is that as part of a war on, quote, woke policies, Musk said that his team had, quote, saved taxpayers over $1 billion in crazy DEI, so that's diversity, equity, and inclusion, contracts. Yay! Another update. Taking an axe to USAID, which is America's main foreign aid organization that funds projects in dozens of countries, which Trump and Musk call wasteful. So, yeah, in case you didn't hear, basically USAID is, like, just put through the fucking – put in the dumpster, and they decided we don't really need it at all. We don't need to help other countries. So, you know, that – yay!
Cool. Well, it's America first.
Yes, absolutely. One of their other achievements was making the buyout offer to 2 million government employees to try and slash the size of the federal workforce. And another thing they are proud to be working on is attempting to take control of and possibly shut down the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Oh, that sounds like a great idea.
Yes, and if you're not familiar, this is a bureau that was set up to protect consumers after the 2007-2008 financial crisis, but many Republicans accuse of government overreach. So those were just kind of the vague celebratory updates that Doge has listed on its Twitter. But Doge does have a website, and the Department of Government Efficiency, in a post on its website, says that it has so far found $55 billion in savings through a combination of efforts, including a reduction in the federal workforce.
By just using coupons.
It said it estimated it had realized $55 billion in savings by canceling or renegotiating leases and contracts.
This is rocket money for the government.
Basically, selling assets, canceling grants, finding regulatory savings, making programmatic changes to the government, and reducing the workforce. I mean, yeah, if you just fire everyone, of course you save money. Like, that's like,
yeah.
No shit. But, like, I hope you, like, made sure shit's still being done, which I'm sure they're not. So the U.S. Agency of International Development, so USAID, which I mentioned earlier, is listed as the top saving, where Doge found total contract savings and contract savings as a percentage of the federal government, which in itself accounted for about $6.5 billion in savings. So basically, Doge saved $6.5 billion by deciding we don't need to help other countries anymore through that department. So Musk and Doge quickly moved to dismantle the agency, which, just for more specifics, that agency does provide food for those in need around the world and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so, yeah, it's okay. Tangible.
We don't need it.
Yeah. The other two departments that were listed where a lot of savings came in were the Department of Education, which accounted for nearly $502 million in savings, and the Office of Personnel Management.
Isn't that what they're doing?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I know. Doge also says it had cut contracts from other departments, including Department of Health and Human Services, Department of Agriculture, Department of Homeland Security, General Services Administration, Environmental Protection Agency, Department of Commerce, and the Department of Housing and Urban Development. So, that's cool. Like, the thing is, like, I would like to know the very specific things that were cut out of each one of those.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I want an itemized list of what you took out of each one of those so I could see why planes keep crashing. Anyway, I know that has to do with the FAA, none of the departments I just mentioned, but they did just fire a whole bunch of people from the FAA. So anyway. So I hope it makes it clear that I don't like any of this. By the way, I'm trying to deliver this information pretty neutrally, but I just want to make it clear I hate Elon Musk, and I hate it all. Now, that is most of the overview I provided, but I will just say that, sadly, if you did not follow, a federal... What?
Sorry.
What?
You were talking about an itemized list, and they do have a quote-unquote wall of receipts.
Oh, I did hear about that. I forgot. Are they actually useful? Are they very clear?
For the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, it says that their Washington Post subscription cost $127,398. Now, depending on who you're getting that for, that seems fine. A Politico, I can't speak either, Marissa. Politico Pro account, not one, I'm sure. But that was $635,000. So they kind of have some specifics here, but I don't know that any of it is really like, okay, so you're going to stop people from getting the Washington Post, and then the Washington Post is probably going to go under, or your people aren't going to know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Here's a fun aside that is unrelated, but I do want to share. I will not state which of my old workplaces, because it was a bit controversial that I said this, but I guess to cut costs, in one of my old jobs, I was enrolled My one boss thought it was very important that I be enrolled in a an organization tied to my profession that would give me access to a lot of resources. And everyone in my department was given that. It didn't cost that much annually. But all of a sudden, my new boss decided they would strip that membership from most of the people on my staff, and we would have to share the membership with the only a couple of people who kept their memberships.
Yeah, so that in that case, it's dishonesty that helps save money.
But that's not the end of my story. My story is that I don't know if it was coincidence, but they coincidentally stripped membership from all the people of color and kept it so that only two white people had them. And in my exit interview, I told HR that. And they did a quote-unquote investigation that just involved them asking my boss, did you do that? And she went, no. And so then they just said I lied.
Case closed.
But yeah, apparently it kind of caused a lot of anxiety when I said that, which I even said, I don't know if it was on purpose, but it wasn't a good look. And HR was just like, oh. So yeah, whenever you're stripping membership from people, make sure you don't just strip membership from the black and brown people and leave white people with the memberships.
Yeah.
It doesn't look good. Anyway, back to Doge. To wrap things up, I just want to say, I mean, there might be more news by the time this drops on Friday, but as of when I'm doing this presentation, the latest news is that a federal judge unfortunately handed Musk a partial victory in one of the suits that were filed earlier this week. So basically, 14 states wanted a temporary restraining order to block Elon Musk and his team from accessing sensitive information and further firing government employees. And they filed a federal lawsuit alleging that Musk's, quote, expansive authority is in violation of the Appointments Clause of the U.S. Constitution, which calls for anyone deemed a, quote, principal officer of the U.S. government to be formally nominated by the president and confirmed by the Senate. But the judge did not grant that restraining order.
Yeah, the world's really weird, isn't it?
It's like,
but they'll find another judge who's like, no, I think you guys are right. And then it'll just go back and forth.
Yeah, exactly. With that being said, the judge did say that she was open to considering whether or not his role altogether was unconstitutional. So basically she said, like, no, you're not winning this lawsuit. But, like, she, like, kind of indirectly said, like, but there might be another angle that you could hit, and you're not hitting the right angle. She basically said they didn't have enough evidence backing up their claims. Like, there wasn't enough evidence showing, like, the irreparable damage that Doge caused. So that's a bummer. Because last time I heard that Doge was trying to get all of our treasury and tax information, which don't want a 19-year-old intern to have my tax information. But,
They're not going to do any better than TurboTax, right?
Nope, TurboTax can fuck itself. Maybe I have to do a presentation on that next time.
Well, the very latest information I happened to see this afternoon, which was that they put a list of contracts on their website on Monday night, and the website claims that they saved taxpayers $8 billion by canceling a single U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement contract that was actually worth $8 million. So, again, when you have a 19-year-old who's in charge, maybe it's a math problem, but maybe it's a spelling problem that they don't know the difference between billion and million.
Oh, God. Also, like, okay, so you saved us that. So I expect to see all of this in my taxes next year, I guess.
Or in the education of my children, or somewhere good. Nope.
Like, I expect to see something, not just hear it. So, yeah, again, I apologize if I was just reporting on what was in the news. But if, like I said, if, like me, you're so upset you've been trying to avoid the news, I hope I was able to teach you something about what exactly has been going on. So, yeah, Elon Musk can fuck himself. And, yeah, that's where this stands.
I was talking to my mom yesterday, and she had Fox News on, and she was like, oh, what's this? Some illegals did blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, you must be watching Fox News, because no other news source would call human beings illegals.
Yep, exactly. But
I remember when all this stuff started, and I was like, this is why we can't have immigrants in this country, Mom, because Elon Musk ends up taking over.
I know. That's actually the part that like annoys me the most, that they're so anti-immigrant and that they're letting someone who's not from America, from the U.S., like, do all this shit. Like, it's comical, is my point. Yeah, it doesn't upset me, but it's comical and ridiculous and hypocritical. So, yeah.
Plugs.
Oof, you got any plugs?
This might be like a late plug, but I started watching that show on Netflix that didn't speak to me at all. The one with Lisa Kudrow and Ray Romano.
Oh, yeah, I finished that. I liked it.
And I was like, this is pretty good. And there's a bunch of funny people in it. So I started watching that. That's pretty good. If you're like me and you were like, eh, it's okay. It's worth giving it a shot. That's the best I got for a plug right now. That and Chocolate Milk, which I think I plugged last show.
I'm going to plug caring about people being sick again. Not to be a liberal woke cuck, but
make America sick again.
No, just about caring. Like, nobody wears masks anymore, and I'm pretty sure I got the flu from the person just coughing freely into the air in the train behind me. So I'd like to plug that, like, caring about not being gross. And I'd like to plug
our Patreon. That's a great idea, Marissa.
Sure. Yeah.
You can join our Patreon at patreon.com/y'allheard, where you can hear me do a Pete Ruins a Movie episode on F. Mary Kill, starring Lucy Hale and probably some other people.
Yeah, Pete always is diligently doing his Pete's previews and his Pete's Ruins a Movie. I realize I have not been consistent on most of my shows, so I have started, for my Patreon content, sharing snack reviews. So if you want to see reviews of up-and-coming or limited edition snacks, we've been uploading those videos to our Patreon as well. Mm-hmm. You would like to call us like Alex did to let us know you still exist or give us show ideas, you can call us at 570-POD-WAD-1. Or you can email us at
YallHeardPod@gmail.com.
Guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for bearing with me. And bye.
Bye.